Let's begin with a prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. The Holy Spirit has been likened in Scripture, as we heard in our first reading today, to a strong driving wind coming as tongues of fire at Pentecost. Also in Scripture, we see him coming in the form of a dove at the Lord's baptism. And there are many other images of the Holy Spirit in tradition. The ancient Celts apparently referred to the Holy Spirit as a wild goose. Today, in all reverence to the third person of the Blessed Trinity, I would like to propose another image from popular culture to kind of help paint a truly vivid picture of the Holy Spirit for us and his role in our lives. And I do this in all reverence, and I do this with confidence because of what Jesus said, that the kingdom of God is for the childlike. So hear me out on this one. I submit to you that the Holy Spirit is like a baboon named Rafiki from The Lion King. You heard me correctly, from Disney's The Lion King. It was one of my favorite movies as a kid, and it remains one of my favorite movies today. I may even say I enjoyed it more as an adult than I did as a kid. I imagine everyone here, or just about everyone here, has seen The Lion King, or has heard of it. And I know it might seem like a strange comparison to make, but trust me when I say that The Lion King contains many Catholic themes, particularly in regards to identity and vocation and woundedness. And like any good movie, think of your favorite movie, for example. Like any good movie, it speaks to the deepest desires of the human heart and calls us into our true vocation, our true identity, which comes from the Father. So a brief recap for those who haven't seen it, or maybe it's been a while since you've seen the movie. The main character, Simba, is a young lion, as we encounter him in the beginning, and the son of Mufasa, the Lion King. And Simba, as we see, is a young cub, a newborn cub, is anointed by Rafiki in a ritual form, very much like a baptism, and thus is made an heir to the kingdom. But after the evil Scar is Simba's uncle, Mufasa's brother, after the evil Scar murders his brother, Mufasa, Simba, as we see, begins to lose touch with his identity. Scar comes to him in the immediate aftermath of the death of Mufasa and says to Simba, "What have you done?" Blames him for his own father's death. And Simba is deeply wounded, deeply wounded. Destined to follow in his father's footsteps as the Lion King, Simba instead now runs away, runs far away from home, and loses himself in a life of empty pleasure and self-indulgence, which and the movie is called Hakuna Matata, which means no worries. Don't worry, be happy. That's what he lives for after he runs away. And Simba, in a way, represents each one of us. All of us are children of the Father, and through baptism, co-heirs with a Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ, to our internal inheritance, our eternal reign with the Lord. And our lives really only make sense when we're firmly rooted in this identity of who we are as children of God, co-heirs with Christ to the kingdom. But for all sorts of reasons, just like Simba, we can become wounded and disillusioned. And we end up turning our backs on the Father. We end up turning our backs on our vocation, our high calling as Christians. We risk losing ourselves through sin, through woundedness, and living mediocre, empty lives, becoming far less than who we are meant to be. Which is why, precisely why, we need a guide. We need a guide to bring us back to our senses and remind us of our true identity, our true vocation. In one of the most climactic scenes in the movie, Rafiki, who, as I said, represents the Holy Spirit, comes to Simba to bring him back to his homeland. But first he must bring about a transformation in Simba's heart by reminding him of his true identity and calling. He needs to bring about some healing. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. This is what he does. We see Rafiki lead Simba to a pond where he's encouraged to look at his reflection. He's essentially bringing him back to his baptismal identity. And as Simba gazes at himself, he sees the reflection of his father, the Lion King. And at that same moment, he hears his father's voice from heaven. I think I said this before in a homily. I always think of, when I think of God the Father's voice, I think of James Earl Jones. We hear the Father's voice from heaven speaking to Simba. Remember who you are. You are my son. You've forgotten who you are, and so you've forgotten me. And this is the turning point in Simba's life, right? This is when everything begins to change. And Rafiki encourages him to let go of the past and look with hope to the future. And now that Simba has embraced his true identity, he's able to drive out the enemy, Scar, who is a pretty darn good depiction of Satan in the film. The way he acts, the way he speaks. So I encourage you, as a spiritual exercise, to go back and watch this movie. Seriously. I mean, this is a core theme of a retreat that changed my life a couple of years ago. This movie, believe it or not. It really can be a spiritual exercise. And try to make these connections as you watch the film. Can you see Mufasa as an image of God the Father? Can you see yourself in the character Simba? Watch how Scar acts like Satan. Observe his tactics. He's the accuser. He's the father of lies, the manipulator, the deceiver. And the hyenas are kind of like his demons. You might even see some of the other characters in the film as like angels who are sent to guard us. And while it's very amusing, watch how Rafiki, the wise baboon, acts like the Holy Spirit, who is present from the beginning of Simba's life, when he's anointed, all the way to the end. Who guides him, who enlightens him, who consoles him in his woundedness, who aids him in the process of healing, who reminds him of the truth of who he is and his purpose, who challenges him at times, who stirs up in Simba's heart like rekindles a desire for greatness and conversion. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He's called the Spirit of the adoption of the children of God. And I think one of the greatest needs that we all have, maybe the greatest need, is to know our identity and live from that true identity. Not from a false identity that's put there by the evil one, but from our true identity. And while the enemy, the devil, seeks to define us by our woundedness, by our failures, by our weaknesses, to restrain us, to disempower us, to sideline us, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid to remind us of who we are in the eyes of our Father, the only one who can define us. And he reminds us of the role that we have to play in this world. And I think many Catholics sadly think that they don't really have much of a role to play in this world. Who am I? What can I do? We ask ourselves. I'm no Father Mike Schmitz. I'm no Bishop Barron. I'm not even a priest. What can I do? That's a huge lie. Huge lie. You are not insignificant. You have a massive role to play. And the Holy Spirit wants to show you that role. He wants to dispel those lies, the darkness, and illuminate your heart with the fire of his love. Let's heed the Spirit's call to remind us of who we are, so we can be free. Free to love as we're meant to love. Free to be saints as we're called to be. And let's ask him to help us identify the gifts and talents and charisms that he's given us, that we've each received for the sake of building up the body of Christ. Let's pray once again. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and enkindle in them fire of your love.